Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward Delight, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communication, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs. You're welcome to call in to ask questions and make comments during the show. Ring toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810. Bear with me just a moment. I lost that phone number. We'll get this together. In Canada, ring 888-810-8322. Otherwise, you can ring direct at 530-876-3222. There are a number of services available through our organization, Towards the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, NDE books and videos, and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program and BBS Radio by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This program today actually marks the first anniversary of our being on the air with Toward the Light, Leaning Back to the Source. So I want to extend a special acknowledgement and gratitude to Don and Doug Newsom from BBS.com. Don sought me out and asked me to do this program a year ago, and I am so pleased to have had this wonderful opportunity to share with all of you for the past year, and there's only a lot more good to come, and I'm looking for a few more years ahead with Towards the Light. And with this special anniversary show, I'm bringing back a wonderful friend and guest who is a near-death experiencer, an author, a speaker, a facilitator also of near-death support groups, as I do. And let's welcome back to the show Nancy Clark, the author of Hear His Voice. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Juliet, and thank you for the invitation to come on your show again and discuss one of the most significant aspects of my life, the spiritually transformative experience. I'm very happy to talk with you today.
It's wonderful to have you, and this is such an important topic because, of course, the show isn't just about near-death experiences, but out-of-body and spiritually transformative experiences. And other beautiful names and terms that I've heard is also illumination experiences, which I think is lovely, and simply light experiences. And as you have pointed out, Nancy, one does not have to go NDE or be on the verge of death or even have external influences or if you will, in order to have an experience that changes your life forever. So why don't we go ahead and talk about this a little bit with you, and also the fact that you're working on a new project. So we're going to want to hear about this as well. So
all right,
go ahead and start nattering away here.
All right. Well, as you mentioned earlier on, I am a near-death experiencer. Briefly, I died and recovered in the morgue in the early 1960s as a result of toxemia of pregnancy. And while I did encounter a being of light, it was not a very deep core experience. I was brought back quickly. But in 1979, I had a very deep core experience, as Dr. Kenneth Ring likes to call very deep near-death experiences. But I was not close to death at the time. I was not suffering from serious illness or physical trauma at the time. I was, in fact, delivering a eulogy at the time when suddenly and spontaneously I my spirit self lifted out of my physical body. And from that moment on, if I were to describe to you all the events that took place, you would think a near-death experiencer was talking to you, someone who died and recovered and came back to share their story. But I was alive and fully functioning, fully cognizant at the time. I encountered a being of light, of unconditional love, beyond human description. The outpouring of love and wholeness that was being given to me is ineffable. There are no words to describe it. I went on to move through a dark void, through the universe. I was able to see other dimensions. I was given a life review. I saw how I had not been very loving. I mean, I was loving, you know, just like average people, but there in the clarity of the experience, you really understand what love is. And I was I was able to look back in retrospect upon my life and see those instances when I was not as loving towards self and others as I could have been. I was given a life preview. I wanted to stay, but I was told, no, it's not your time. I have work for you to do. This being of light communicated with me telepathically. I understood everything instantaneously. Time was missing. Everything that transpired during this experience was at the speed of light, simultaneously, everything. So a lot of information was given to me. It just takes
time. Let me ask you, was the preview of what is to come after that experience, what was to come after that experience, or was it a preview of your life from birth?
I was given instructions what I should do upon my return to physical consciousness.
Okay.
That work or that mission involved communicating, telling others about the love of the light. I was told to talk, to speak. I was told to write a book, which, in deep gratitude to the light for his help, its help, I accomplished. I was shown during the life preview what my work would be like. I was shown standing in front of audiences talking. I was shown both the positive and negative aspects of the work. First, the negative. I was shown how people would ridicule me, laugh at me, say I was an insane woman talking about this transcendent spiritual experience. I was also shown the positive ones. Events of my life, how people would listen and their hearts would be lifted closer to the spiritual dimension, how their spirit inside of them would be elevated to a higher consciousness. It was this help that I was going to bring to humankind that we're in so much need of. And that's what I mean by the life preview that I was given.
Yes, that sounds very familiar because I was given the same assignment. Isn't that interesting?
When I came back, I thought to myself, who am I? You know, what little have I to share with people? But it's astounding that when you're being called upon to do this work, the gift, the abilities, the speech, everything comes to you. It's like you have a wellspring deep inside of you from your memory of the experience that comes out when the time is needed to bring it forth. That's what I've noticed, that when I'm doing a lot of my talks and so forth, or helping people on a one-to-one basis, I don't really feel that it's me. I feel that it's a spirit greater than myself who is working through me. And I think most NDEers or anyone who has really touched the face of the divine understands what I'm saying.
Oh, totally. And in fact, yeah. It's been the same with me because I've never used an outline or notes or anything when I've given a talk. Being visually impaired, that wouldn't be very conducive to that. And so, and in fact, I'm not a professional speaker, but I was told, you will know what to say. And that is exactly what has ended up happening, is that it's just given to me in the moment. And I just share whatever is in the heart at that time, and boom. And it turns out that people have been absolutely focused and fixated on every word. So
and
this is so powerful.
Do you also feel after you speak that you can't remember what you spoke about?
A lot of times, yes.
Yes. Yes. Try to write it down for some purpose, and you can't remember what you speak because it all comes from spirit within.
Yeah.
Your ego is out of the way.
Oh,
that's
totally.
A lot of times you don't remember what was said. It's all spirit work that we do. And this is why I'm so excited to talk about this subject, because I know there are many people out there who are not able to talk about these experiences because many of them were not close to death during the time when they had this spontaneous, instantaneous, spiritually transformative experience. And I want to help those people have a voice. Their message, their words are just as important to share with humanity as those who came close to death. We've had 30 years of scientific research in the field of near-death studies. It's time now to open and expand our study and listen to all the many voices who have touched spirit's face.
And you're such a perfect person to help pioneer this because of the profundity of your STE. Something I've been curious about is that you were still speaking and doing this eulogy whilst you also popped out to the other side. Were you aware of what your physical self was saying and doing?
I was outside of myself, and while I was still in the room speaking the eulogy, I could look down upon Nancy, if you will,
that
full form delivering the eulogy. But that wasn't me. The real me was out of body, in spirit, looking down and in a more real dimension than the physical dimension that I had just popped out of, if you will.
Yes.
So, and then I was more interested in where I was with the light than I was interested in what Nancy was saying. So my attention turned away from Nancy delivering the eulogy and focused more on being with the light and moving through that dimension with the light. But my
and how powerful that you were able to do that simultaneously.
No, don't ask me how it works. I have no clue. The mystery of spirit cannot be put under a microscope.
No. That is really remarkable. Well,
yes.
I know that we have got a number of people who are interested in participating in your project, and maybe what I could do is invite, if there are any STEers who are listening at the moment who would like to ring in and ask Nancy and or myself any questions or make comments or share a bit about your experiences, please feel free to do so. We are happy to take calls. So again, the phone number's here, and hopefully I won't lose them this time. 877-876-5227 in the U.S. In Canada, it is 888-810-8322. Otherwise, everyone else is going to have to ring direct at 530-876-3222. Nancy, why don't you tell us a bit about this new project that you're working on and what you're looking for, even though I did allude to it a little bit already.
Certainly. I am doing a research project on near-death-like and spiritually transformative experiences. They could be one and the same. Terminology really gets in the way, as you know, words sometimes get mixed up. But I'm looking for people who were not close to death at the time, were not suffering from serious illness or physical trauma at the time. And they should have had perhaps one or I'd say two or more of the following criteria. They went out of body, experienced peace, perhaps a dark void. Perhaps they traveled at fast speed somewhere. Perhaps they saw deceased loved ones or other beings, such as angels. Perhaps they saw something like buildings or landscapes, animals. Perhaps they encountered a light of some kind. I'd like to know what their perception of the light was, who it was. Did they feel loved or frightened during their experience? Did they have any sort of life review? Did they have a sense of the meaning of life or any spiritual inclination? Were they given a choice to return, or did they just spontaneously return back to physical consciousness? And then the after effects of the individual's experience. I want to know if there was a sudden increase in their spirituality. For instance, did they turn now to reading books on spiritual matters? Are they attending classes or workshops now? Are they praying or meditating more frequently after the experience? Do they feel a heightened sense of spirituality? Have they become more loving or compassionate, forgiving? Do they have a deeper appreciation of life or nature? Is there an increase in psychic development? Did latent talents and creativity surface? Do they feel they have a sense of mission or calling following their experience? And if any of those things resonate with any of your listeners, I want to hear from them. And I will mail them a questionnaire, either by email or snail mail. They can feel free to write me and share their experience with me. All inquiries will be strictly confidential. I will share no information with anyone else. And if they want to find out more information, they can go to my website, www.freewebs.com/Nancy-Clark. And there will be, you know, more information for them to peruse on that. So that's basically what I'm looking for. And please, if any of the listeners are listening, don't feel, well, I didn't have a big experience. If it transformed you in any way spiritually, you qualify. I want to hear from you. Your voice is important to be heard. Your message needs to be shared with humanity, and I want to be a vessel for that work.
This is a very wonderful project, and also there are people who do have experiences, and I want to encourage all of you too. You may not remember anything at first, and not to worry about that, because sometimes just by owning it, in other words, admitting, I've had an experience, and then because this has happened to some wonderful NDEers as well, and again, it doesn't matter if it's NDE, OBE, STE, or otherwise.
Right.
If you have an experience that you don't remember, I've noticed that it has oftentimes happened that when someone would start reading and or even getting a session with me, for example, because I'm a clairvoyant and a medium and a counselor, suddenly the individual is quickened and they gain recall, and people gain recall of their experiences. So maybe even just saying, well, I can't remember it, but I did have an experience, just even speaking about it might help to bring about total recall as well. So I do want to encourage people who have somehow forgotten about these experiences. Now, Nancy, could we even include lucid dreams with this? Because I know some people have had profound lucid dreams that have also radically altered their lives.
Absolutely. It is any kind of experience that radically, suddenly changes a person. Their moral values change, they become more loving, some of their old former beliefs fade away, they go on now to live a richer, fuller, more loving life. Yes, yes. It doesn't matter what type. If you've changed spiritually, that's it in a nutshell.
That's wonderful, and we should also mention again the name of your book is called Hear His Voice. And when did you publish that book?
July of 2005.
And wow.
Very well. I'm very pleased. The foreword was written by Dr. Kenneth Ring. As you know, Juliet, he's considered the world's foremost and respected near-death experience researchers. And I have an offer that I'd love to share with your listeners, if I may be permitted.
Sure, absolutely.
My book, of course, can be ordered through any bookstore or Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. But if people want to order my book directly from me, I've been given a wonderful opportunity from my dear friend, Dr. Vernon Silvestre, who published a book, The Formula, Who Gets Sick, Who Gets Well, Who Is Unhappy, Who Is Happy, and Why, to give a free complimentary copy of his book to anyone ordering my book, Hear His Voice, directly from me. His book has been endorsed by Drs. Norman Shealy, Deepak Chopra, and Bernie Siegel. And this is a wonderful opportunity. So if people would like to order directly from me for $20, which is the cost of my book, you'll get both books for $20. It's a great deal.
They can order by going to your website, correct?
They can go to my website, yes.
Is www.freewebs.com/Nancy-Clark. And can people also ring you and make an order, or is it strictly through your website that they make an order for the book?
They can either email me. I'm seldom home. I have a very ill husband, and most of the time we're in hospitals or emergency rooms, doctors. It's very hard to reach me by phone, and I would hate for people to, you know, deal with no answer. So it's best to either email me at the following email address, H as in Harry, E-A-L-E-Y, Garden, G-A-R-D-E-N, at msn.com. And if people who are emailing me would kindly, in the subject line of all correspondence to me, write, Hear His Voice, I'll be alerted that it's not spam and accidentally delete your message. I'm available that way very easily, or through my website.
That's great. And
if anyone is just interested in communicating with me about any experiences or any questions, I'm available for that too through my email address. So don't hesitate to get in touch with me.
So again, that's healygarden@msn.com.
Yes.
And also, if anybody is in doubt or in question, you can always contact me directly or send me an email, info@towardthelight.org, and I'll be sure and contact Nancy as well. And we do have an image of your book, Nancy, on towardthelight.org on the books page, and I'm certainly pleased to help with your project as well. Do you have a title yet for this new project, or is it still too new to know what that's going to be?
Yes, it's still too new. I probably won't decide the name of the title until I'm completed with the project.
Okay, repeat that. It seems like you were cutting out. I don't know what kind of phone you have, but we're having some interference.
Yes, I'm on landline. Let's see, what was the question? I'm sorry.
Well, the question was about the book and you know, when you're expecting to get a title and get this project underway.
That's right, I'm sorry.
When it was going to be completed.
Toward the end of my project, I will probably see how the project is developing and then come up with a title at that time. I usually think of it that way rather than initially.
And then there's also the near-death online support groups that I facilitate, and you are also on one of those as well, Nancy.
Yes, I have a group here in Columbus, Ohio. I founded the group in 1984, so we are the second longest-running INs group in the world, second to Seattle, Washington.
Wow.
So it gives me a great deal of pleasure to have this group for near-death experiencers and other people who have had spiritually transformative experiences, as well as for people who are merely interested in the subject and want to learn more.
What area is this in again? Is this Columbus, Ohio?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We serve all the surrounding area. In fact, some people come as far as Cleveland, Ohio, drive several hours to get to one of our meetings. So
that's
well
wonderful.
Worth coming to.
You've got a website for that as well, for your meetings. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yes. It's www.rewebs.com/INSColumbus. And that's INDS Columbus.
Okay, and through that site they can find out all about your meetings. And you typically have speakers at your meetings, or is it a discussion group?
It's varied. Sometimes we will have speakers, sometimes we will have films. Sometimes we will discuss some of the latest research work being done in the field. Other times we won't have a planned program at all. It will be just spontaneous discussion among the group members. And oftentimes that is some of our best meetings, when there is just spontaneous sharing. It seems that spirit knows best who is present during the meeting and what needs to be said and heard. It's amazing. It really is phenomenal the way it works.
And what day do you hold your meetings, Nancy?
We hold it the first Saturday of every month at a church at Columbus Mennonite Church. Which is not affiliated with our group. They just allow us to use the library facilities. So 35 Oakland Park Avenue, Columbus.
Well, that's wonderful. So did you just have your meeting yesterday then?
It was canceled, unfortunately. There was a funeral at the church, and we had to postpone it. We'll have our next meeting this coming Saturday, March 10th. We'll be discussing some of the spiritual implications on near-death experiencers' lives following their experience.
That should be a really, really wonderful meeting, and then also continuing to do the outreach. Now, I'm curious if in your recent research you've uncovered anything interesting or significant related to spiritually transformative experiences. Have you seen any progress in that area?
People are reluctant to talk about this for fear of being labeled, you know, crazy or what. There still is not enough public information out that people can feel comfortable. So finding subjects has been quite a challenge for me. You know, you can't just go into any clinical setting like a hospital setting and interview patients who had a cardiac arrest, for instance, and gather your data. I'm looking specifically for ordinary people walking about or sitting in an easy chair or watching television or praying or meditating or lying on bed and having a spontaneous experience. And they're hard to find. I do a lot of public speaking, and I try to educate the public that coming close to death is only one trigger releaser. There are many other ways to come to this experience. And inevitably, someone always comes up to me afterwards and very shyly will say to me, you know, I had this experience, but I wasn't close to death at the time. I guess my experience doesn't count. And that saddens me.
What
do you mean it doesn't count? Yes, it does count. Your voice needs to be heard. You know, and they still say, well, you're the first person I've told, you know. There's still
That too.
Yes.
In fact, a very wonderful person, and I think he's listening to the show. He told me he was going to, and I'd like to invite him to call in because he's such a precious soul. He found me through neardeath.com. Bless Kevin Williams for doing this tremendous website. And I am going to get him on the show. We're working on that. But anyway, this wonderful man found me. And he had an STE. I think he's had more than one, but he was absolutely locked up about it and wouldn't talk about it to anyone. But he felt like he could talk to me. And what was so interesting is that he read every single word of that website. It's a huge website.
I know.
For some reason, he was compelled to contact me, and I can't tell you how grateful for his sake I am, because everything he told me, I said, Dad, you are not crazy. This is real. This is important to pay attention to. And so it has changed his life, and in fact, even in his work, he's prospering more now because something was quickened. Something was opened up for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel the same way that you do. I feel that same urgency that, please, you dear precious souls, you need to come forward. You don't need to be afraid to, because there are people who not only understand, but who know that you are not crazy.
Yes.
Contact. Contact me, please.
Yes, the value, again, of opening up and taking that risk of sharing is precisely what the situation was for early near-death experiences. If you recall, before any of the studies came out, before Ray Moody's book was published, people couldn't talk about it. They were afraid. But once it became more well known. Now people are not afraid to talk about their near-death experience as much as they used to in the past, before the information was brought out to the general public. And this is what I want to do to help those that have had spiritually transformative experiences. The same things that you're going through can be alleviated if we talk about them and give ourselves permission to share. You will find people willing to open their hearts and their ears to you. It's important that you not keep it locked inside of you. It does no good to anyone else. It doesn't help anyone else. And I believe in my heart that that's what we're put on earth here to do, to help others grow spiritually. And if we've been given a taste of it, we must help others savor what's inside of them as well. So please get in touch with me or Juliet.
And that's also what I was sent back here to do, is to let people know that life is eternal, that death is an illusion, and that all of these experiences are extremely valid and real, very, very real. And I was also told, and I believe you were told this too whilst you were on the other side, Nancy, is that what we see and experience on the physical plane is an illusion. It's a hologram.
Yes, yes. And nowhere prior to my experience had I ever heard of anything like that before. And the moment that I slipped out of my body and into the real reality, the authentic one,
yes,
I realized I was looking down upon an illusion. It was all like a dream. It wasn't the real reality. We're sent here, I believe, on earth to learn to love, to grow spiritually, to learn from the lessons of life that we encounter in our daily lives. How we love is what is important. That's what we're here to do.
I think so, too. I feel absolutely the same way. Now, I've got another interesting question for you. When you were looking at the illusional hologram known as the physical plane, did you experience seeing waves and particles, or did it appear solid to you? You did.
No.
Okay, I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
What's really interesting is, I think it was about 3 or 4 nights ago, I was doing something here in my office. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was doing. I was smudging and doing incense around my place. And then somehow when I was placing the incense into the burner, all of a sudden the physical plane dissolved and that whole thing just turned into these waves.
Mm.
And I saw once again how illusory this plane is. And so I guess for just a few seconds I had an STE because I instantly snapped out of the, you know, being identified or focused on the physical plane, and I was completely removed from the body, and the perception from the physical eyes kind of thing. And I said, wow, interesting.
Yeah,
and I was reminded once again about, this is an illusion. Remember that.
Yeah.
This isn't what's real. Yeah. And yet, you know, some people might laugh at that and say, oh, no, that was a hallucination, but actually the opposite is true. So they can be very subtle little experiences like that.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where something happens for just a few seconds?
Yes.
But
absolutely.
You know that you have been altered as a result of that.
Absolutely. And the thing about hallucinations is that the person having a hallucination, if for the moment that they're having it, it seems real, but when the hallucination is finished, they know it was a hallucination. They have that objective reality that confirms that they knew that was a hallucination. It wasn't real. Now, when people have these transformative experiences like we're talking about today, they know it was real. The event, the experience was real. It was not a hallucination. Hallucinations, for one thing, do not have the ability to transform people's lives. They don't have the ability to change people's beliefs. They don't transform them to be suddenly loving, compassionate people. I mean, these are all values that are that transcend a hallucinatory episode. So skeptics often will just like to shoot from the hip and say, oh, all these experiences, they're just hallucinations or dreams or whatever. But no.
Well, my argument with that also is that hallucinations do not generate the after effects that are permanent.
They're permanent, is right. That's right. It doesn't last for just a day or a minute. It's permanent, yes.
It really is. And
yes.
So that right there, in fact, that's why I appreciate in PMH Atwater's book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Near-Death Experiences, which I've still got a few copies for sale, listeners, and it is now out of print. So if you want one of the original copies of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Near-Death Experiences, you're welcome to order from towardthelight.org, and all proceeds will support this organization and the work that we're doing. But in that book, she's got a chapter, and I love it. It's called Debunking the Debunkers.
Mm-hmm.
She's explaining, you know, she categorizes and goes down 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C to Z, why these specific naysayers are invalid. Again, she does explain that people who just merely have hallucinations do not have the after effects that change and transform their lives forever, and that's a big one right there.
That's right.
You know, we've got a lot in our favor, plus the fact that we are blessed with what a lot of people would consider extraordinary guests as a result of having these experiences.
That's right.
For me, I've become less shy about the gifts.
Yes.
I just share them now, you know?
Yes.
And
well, we're meant to. We're meant to share them. We're meant to help raise humanity's consciousness to a higher level. And we may be the pioneers. You know, who knows? But everyone who has ever had an impact on our world has originally been thought to be crazy or whatever, but they persisted because they know they've been sent here for a specific reason, to help elevate human consciousness. So we do persist, and it's a blessing. It really is. It's a joy. It's a joy to be able to give back a part of what we've been given. Don't you think that way, Julia?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this has been so true for me. It brings me such joy to do this work. But I've got to acknowledge, God love you, Nancy. You've been doing this work for 20-odd years, where I really just had my coming out this decade, so I'm brand new at this. This year, 2007, I will have been a member of IAMS for only 10 years. So people are way ahead of me, but as they say, better late than never getting into it. But I was so shy because of the ridicule. But one thing I want to share about truth, which I think is really neat, I read this recently about truth. It is at first poked fun at, then ridiculed, and people seek to destroy it. And then the third thing that happens is it becomes self-evident.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. So that's a good thing to remember, you know, that anybody who's come forward sharing truth has been poked fun at and been ridiculed and persecuted and all of that stuff. God knows I have. And still am in some ways. But too bad, I'm doing this work anyway because I was beamed back down here to do the work, and I won't get to go back home until I have done the work.
And that's
perhaps
how I feel.
I'm being a little selfish because I want to go home. But really, the motive behind all of this is nothing short of love, and I can assure you of that, because just the joy and the peace. Sitting here right now, I feel such a profound peace. Talking with you and sharing this.
I love you too, Liette. You're such a wonderful child of the universe. My sister.
It's such an honor to be there. Go ahead. I was going to ask you what else you wanted to share with all of this.
Yes, one other thing I was thinking of at the moment when we're talking about spiritual experiences. Sometimes I get a lot of fundamentalist folks who want to criticize these experiences with the light. They like to quote the biblical passage, Satan can be disguised as an angel of light. And I'd like to tell you what happened shortly after my 1979 near-death-like experience, when a fundamentalist minister once told me that I must never talk about this experience again, because he quoted that biblical passage to me and said Satan was working through me because Satan can be disguised as an angel of light. My reply to him was, well, my whole life changed dramatically following that transcendent experience. And I said, God blessed me with it and transformed me so that my sole purpose in life is to bring glory to God. This experience brought me to God, and I don't intend to stray away from Him by refusing to tell others about this wondrous spiritual realm that I was told to communicate. And I said, if Satan was behind all of this, disguised as the angel of light, I said, wouldn't Satan do everything in his power to lead me away from doing God's work here in my life? And he had no reply for it. Well, since 1979, my life has been a life of service, to share the miracle of God's divine love for all of us whenever I have the opportunity. And I think St. Paul said it best when he said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And I think, Juliet, that's what you and I and so many others who have encountered the being of unconditional light of love are doing. We share, we continue to share, no matter how we are persecuted or perceived by skeptics. We know we have been with truth. We know we have been given this huge responsibility to share with others, and we do so with joy in our hearts.
You're so right. And one thing I wanted to share was about that too, or response to that individual and all the individuals like him. First of all, he was quoting from a book, not from experience. So I always tend to challenge people there. Let's talk about your experiences, not what you've read in a book. Number two is that Satan is a myth. Satan is not real, and that was something that was fabricated. And there's lots of proof behind that, even within the Bible itself. And the Bible was all written in code anyway, and was written by men. And third, the statement that you made is that by our fruits, people will know us. And, you know, this so-called devil kind of stuff is really... You know, that in itself is an illusion. I never saw any devil when I was on the other side. You know, I saw lost souls, that they were lost souls, and I was assured that even they would ultimately return to the light. It's just a little bit slower for them because they've lost their way. Mm-hmm. But God condemns no one according to my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The ego is what condemns. So this fundamentalist who came to you was coming from ego, not from mm-hmm. love. Because as you know, as I know, love and fear can't coexist.
That's correct.
And he just was not coming from a place of love. He was clearly coming from a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, you wanted to make another comment, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay, I forgot my train of thought.
Oh, darn, sorry about that.
But these experiences are born of and made of divine love, don't you think so? And I think our actions speak for the truth of our spiritual quest. I mean, we can hold ourselves up and know that we are doing good because we're not harming people, we're not judging others. Our hearts are open to seeing the good in people, helping to fulfill their inner potential, the God-given right that they are as children of God. So I just feel such great joy and peace in knowing that I am part of this great plan unfolding for humanity. We all are. We just don't realize it.
And I'm so grateful that you're reminding everybody about this, because indeed that's what we need to remember. We are children of God. We are, in fact, part of the stuff of God. We are not ever, ever separate. Only in our egoic perception are we separate from the light source, but not in fact or in truth are we separate. Having an STE, NDE, OBE, whatever, reminds us and helps us to remember who we really are and to become a more authentic selves. And to me, this has given me a lot more courage. I'll give you that, because when I remember what I've been through on the other side, it helps me to not be quite so traumatized by the criticisms, judgments, ridicules.
Yes.
I'm getting a little better at being stronger about enduring those things.
Yes.
And loving the people who do that to me.
Yes.
Not even feeling anger. And what's so interesting is that a couple of nights ago I was thinking about the people who run the governments of the world and how absolutely sinister to the core they are. And feeling a bit grief-stricken, realizing what their agenda is, and at the same time thinking what to do about this. And all I found myself doing is sending them love.
That's right.
They need it. Oh boy, do they need it. And that's the only thing that is going to turn all of this stuff around,
is to return love.
Even to the most sinister and evil-behaving individual.
Yes. That's a good point that you made. Send love. Love is an energy. It is. Energy. And when we send it out into the universe, into the atmosphere, it has an effect. It's energy. It isn't just something that we keep to ourselves and say, well, I'll pray for the goodness, or I'll send love or healing energy. It works. It actually works. So we need to just be reminded of that, to send love to everyone, the planet.
It is so huge. And actually, to be a little bit scientific, love is a frequency that vibrates very high. It's a very high frequency, short wavelengths and high wavelengths, if you can just visualize that in your mind for a moment, everyone, whereas the fear is a very low vibrational frequency which they are very low. They do not have a high peak, and the wavelengths are very long and drawn out. So when people say you cannot mix love and fear, because they're completely different frequencies.
Right.
So when we elevate our personal frequency to a higher frequency, the closer to love we can move into and vibrate in that higher frequency,
yes,
then we basically become immune to the damage of fear that
absolutely
fear imposes on us.
Good point. For people who have never had spiritually transformative experiences and want to, all they have to do is love with all your heart and soul. Choose love.
And that brings
and see how your life will change.
Okay. Well, I can't believe already this hour has come to a close, and we're going to have to end this transmission of Toward the Light Leading Back to the Source. It has been so wonderful having you with us, Nancy, and of course we will do this again. And what I'd like to share with our listeners is it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And please do remember, as we've been talking about, only love prevails. You are a part of that love. We will speak to you again next week. Please join us for Toward the Light. And don't forget to visit our website, towardthelight.org. Blessings and light to all of you. We'll speak to you next week.